of giving loan. And I mentioned this subject, people say to me, you mean that there is an actual obligation that you must give a loan? Right? Everybody thinks of the pasuk, im kesef tal ve'ezami, right? And im means if, right? If, we'll see soon. Im does not mean if, right? Rashi says im three times in the Torah, im is not if, and this is one of the three. So, first I want to give a slight introduction. The pasuk says, va'ata mo Hashem lekecha, shoyl, what's that? Oh, before, I'm going to read the psukim in a few minutes. I'll show you the three psukim in the Torah that discuss loans. Give me just a few seconds, we'll get to that. But I want to make a slight introduction first, because the Chavetz Chaim wrote a sefer called Avas Chesed, and the Chavetz Chaim in the sefer Avas Chesed discusses just about all the halachas that pertain to loans. And he writes a beautiful introduction. And in the introduction, he writes, the pasuk tells us, Va'ata mo Hashem lekecha shoyl me'imach, ki im liyiras Hashem, right, lelechas b'chol derocha. So the Sifri asks, what does it mean, lelechas b'chol derocha, to go in all the ways of Hashem? And the Sifri says, ma'hu rachim, af'ata rachim, ma'hu chanin, af'ata chanin, ma'hu oise matnas chinam, af'ata oise matnas chinam. The Sifri says, just like there's an obligation, Hashem does things for free, you should do things for other people for free too. Okay? So the Sifri right away says that, and it's beautiful, this pasuk that says, lelechas b'chol derochav, that a person, Hashem asks you, his ultimate request is, go in my ways, is to do gifts for people for free, to give a person a loan. So it's no small order to give a person a loan. Now, I just want to give a little bit of a background on the concept of a loan and realize how, of course, I'll discuss soon when you know a person will repay. And people, I'm going to get to that. I'm not going to leave that part of the shir out. But before we even discuss that, I want to show you how, you know, chashiv this topic actually is. A person who's done averus and he wants to have a kapara, you know what he does? There's two things that are brought down. It's brought down. It's a pasuk in Mishle in Perek Tezayin, and the Gemara in Baruchas quotes this on Dav Hey. It says bechesed ve'emes yichupar right avoin. Through chesed and emes, through doing chesed, emes is Torah, chesed is gemilas chasodim, a person gets a kapora on his averus. As a matter of fact, there's an Ovester Reb Nosson in Perik Dalet, Mishneh Hei. The Ovester Reb Nosson tells us as follows. One time, Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai was following, just to get you up to date, we're talking about the topic specifically tonight of loans, giving people loans. When you have to give a person approaches you for a loan, when you have to actually give the loan and when you don't have to give the loan. I'm just doing a bit of an introduction to understand it. The Gemara tells us that Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai, after the Churban Beis Hamikdash, was leaving Yerushalayim. And his Talmud, Rabbi Shua, was trailing right behind him. And Rabbi Shua started to cry. And he said, take a look. This Beis Hamikdash that we had, that was the place. We're in this Beis Hamikdash. We bought a korban. If we ever did an Aveira, we had a kapara. And suddenly we don't have it anymore. And how are we ever going to have a kapara for any of our averus? So Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai went and he quoted this pasuk and he says, listen, he says, the pasuk says clearly that if you do chesed to people and you learn Torah, you have a kapara for your averus. He says, what are you concerned about? And he quotes quoted a pasuk in Hosea, in Perek Vav, pasuk Vav, that said, ki chesed chafatzti v'loy zevach. Hashem says, what I want from you is you should do chesed. I'm not looking for karbonos, Hashem says. Do chasodim with other people. But I want to show you how important the inyan of chesed is. And I'll quote to you a Gemara in Masechtas Rosh Hashanah, Daf Yud Ches. Listen to what the Gemara says. The Gemara says about a person who Hashem made a gezeira, the person should die. He did have averus, and Hashem said, I'm giving him karis, that's it, he's going to die. The Gemara tells us that even if there's a gezeira that the person should die, and the Gemara says even if Hashem made a shvua, and a shvua chamura, that there's no way to get out of the shvua, if he does chesed, Hashem says, it's okay, I'm going to let you off the hook. Well, listen to this, it's amazing. Where do you see this? Which family was this? You learned through Tanakh? The family of Eli. What happened to the family of Eli? They all were supposed to get karis, and they all were told they're not going to live more than half their lifespan, which is 35 years old. So the Gemara writes there in it's a pasuk in Shmuel in Shmuel Aleph in Perik Beis v'chol ma'abes beisecha yamisi anoshim, right? And it was a special, and it says v'lachin nishpati leveis eli im yischaper avoin beis eli Bezevach v'mincha, Hashem says, even if you bring a korban, you should know, I'm not going to forgive this terrible sin that was committed by the family of Eli. So the Gemara says, yes, if you bring a korban, I'm not going to forgive the sin. But if you do chesed and you learn Torah, then Hashem says, I will forgive the sin. And the Gemara says about, Abaye and Rava, were both grandchildren of Eli. And how long did they live for? Rava lived 40 years. How did Rava live 40 years? Because he became a Rosh Hashiva and he taught Torah. Zokta Gemara, that was Rava. But Abaye became a Rosh Hashiva and he did Gemilas Chesed. He was exceptional Gemilas Chesed. He lived 60 years. A Shvua from Hashem, that a person's going to be cut down by 35 years, but the fact that he did Gemilas Chasodim, he lived till all the way to the age of 60, which, you know, the Mishnah is saying is Shivim Shana. So 60 is considered really most of the lifespan of a person. So it's obviously not something to take lightly at all. And just before I get into the actual halachas and the psukim, I wanted to just share with you two beautiful thoughts which I heard recently. I sat this past Thursday night in a din Torah with Rabbi Peretz Steinberg. He's the head of the Vad Rabbanim of Queens. And that after the din Torah we finished, the psak was out, and we were talking with each other. And we all shared different stories. He said over a beautiful story. He said that the year after World War II, in 1946, there was many Yidden ended up in a certain city in Russia, and the Skolener Rebbe was there. And the Skolener Rebbe said, let's put together the everybody should have matzahs for Pesach. That was what he said. Let's everybody needs to have matzahs for Pesach. And he went and some of you might know the story. He went and he gathered, the people got together, they bought flour, and they baked matzahs. And they put together that everybody in the community should have matzahs for Pesach. The question was, there was not nearly enough matzahs for everybody. So there's not going to be enough matzahs. How's everybody going to manage? So the Skolener Rebbe said, I'll take the job. I put this together. I'll have the job to distribute. I'll calculate how many families there are. And I'll give every family a certain amount of matzahs. Very good. Fine. Wonderful system. He figured that every family is going to get 3 matzahs for Pesach. That's what everybody will have to do with 3 matzahs for the whole Pesach. A couple of days before Pesach, there's a knock on the Skolener Rebbe's door. And the son of the Vizhnitzer Rebbe walked in. Right, he's the famous Mechaber to Sefer Imri Chaim. He says, my father sent me, and my father told me to bring home 6 matzahs. That's what he said, 6 matzahs, you know, for the 2 star. So the Skolener Rebbe said, I'm very sorry, there's only enough. There's a quota, 3 per family. Tell your father, I can't send him 6. So the boy said, but listen, but my father said, he started to cry, and he says, my father said, don't come home without 6 matzahs. He says, you can say whatever you want, Rebbe, but my father said, don't come home. What am I going to do? So he saw he had no choice, and he gave him the 6 matzahs. All right. Erev Pesach, there's a knock on the door of the Skolener Rebbe. And the Vizhnitzer Rebbe's son is back, and he says, my father sent me with 3 matzahs for you, for the Rebbe, for the Seder. So he says, why? He says, my father knew if the Skolener Rebbe had to give away the matzahs, he for sure gave away every last matzah. He didn't save 3 for himself, for the Seder. So the Skolener Rebbe's son was there, and he said, 5 minutes ago, my father just said, oi, tonight is the Seder, and I just gave away the last matzah. What are we going to use for the Seder this year? You see, I mean, an attitude of how people were, you know, people were when it came to giving away for others. I mean, you know, I'm sure he's a very elchi yid. It took him 45 minutes to say Kriya Shema. He couldn't get a minion Friday night. Friday night he couldn't get a minion, because just Kriya Shema Friday night took him 45 minutes. These were special, you know. And before I approach the halachas and the actual obligations, I just want to share one more story. You see how people words. It's truly amazing to what level a person can bring himself. I'll tell you another beautiful story which I saw a while back. There was everybody who is familiar with the Klaizim Rebbe. The Klaizim Rebbe wrote the Sefer Divrei Yatzev. He was a very famous personality. He unfortunately went through World War II, and in World War II he lost 10 children. He lost 10 children and his first wife. And he came back to America after the war. He rebuilt, but he lost a full family before the war. There was the famous, the Kapishitzer Rebbe, his name was Heschel, and he was on the Mayetzes Gedolah Torah. He was there, and it was interesting that he survived the war with his whole family. They didn't even lose one member. And there were a few times the Klaizim Rebbe used to approach him and say, Rebbe, why is it that I lost every member of my family and you didn't lose anybody? You came out with every last member of your family. What's the secret? And he would push him off. He would never respond. One time the Kapishin Rebbe says, you know what, I'll tell you the secret of what's the reason why every member of my family survived. It's a beautiful story. In Kapishnitz, they had a hakpoda that they would never go to sleep at night with any money in their house. Right? You ever heard of anybody that has this hakpoda? The Briskerov had the same hakpoda. The hakpoda is based on a Yerushalmi. Yerushalmi tells us that Misha Yeshli Pita Biyode, someone that has bread in his hand. Va'oimani says, Ma Noichel Lamocha, what are we going to eat tomorrow? Hareze Mikatne Emuna. If you're concerned about tomorrow, you have no Emuna. If you have Shu Emuna Hashem, Hashem will send you every day what you need for that day. So the word, the Briskerov had the same akpada. Every single day he would give away all his money for tzedakah. As a matter of fact, the Kapishin Rebbe had this akpada in America before Shabbos. He would give away all his money. And Friday morning he would give a lot of tzedakah. He was a businessman. And then if he ever gave away all of his money early, he would get up and he would dance. Oh, Baruch Hashem, I'm clean for Shabbos. I'm ready to go into Shabbos. And then afterwards he would get himself prepared for Shabbos. He was very happy. So he had a tremendous dilemma. What happened was they were running away from Poland. And in order to run away, you needed to have a professional to transport you out of the city. So what would happen, you'd get a professional, you would pay him money, and then he would take you out of the city. But it took weeks till they had the right date, when they had the right person to smuggle you out of the country. You know, they had a system how they got the people out. Somebody approached him that he was leaving that day, and he gave him a very large sum of money. He says, Rebbe, you're the Rebbe of the city. I'm leaving, because I don't need my money anymore. He gave him his money, and he says, this is for you, for your family, to run away. But the Rebbe that night had a tremendous dilemma, because his minhag was that he never went to sleep with money in his pocket. And here, on the other hand, this money was given to him in order to save his own family. So he didn't know what to do. So at the end he decided, you know what, if my father's minhag was to give away all my money, I'm going to do so. He found other people in the community that were running away. He paid for their trip. He gave it to them. 20 different people were able to escape because of this money. And he said, for my family, Hashem will still help us. He made his arrangements. 6 weeks later, the day they were about to leave, there was a wealthy woman in the city who was leaving. And as she left, she came to Rebbe and says, Rebbe, here's my jewelry. I'm running away. I'm not going to need my jewelry anymore. She gave it to the Rebbe, and he used that jewelry to pay for his family to run away. So he said, since I went, and when I had the money in my hand to save every last member of my family, I took it to give it to other people, therefore Hashem went and he speared every member of my family, that every one of us survived. I mean, you're approaching a concept of chesed, you know, we're going to kid around soon about, of course, about the people that don't pay, no question about it. But, and it's important to discuss, what's the halakha with the people that don't pay, and do you have to give them a loan or not? But don't approach chesed as an easy topic. That's all I'm trying to say. Chesed is a very, very serious topic. Now, as Alan already said, that it's not a optional, right? It says im kesef talves ami, right? Let's review in the Torah all the psukim that refer to giving loans, okay? And it's important for us to know the different psukim. You have obviously the famous pasuk in Parshas Mishpatim, right? We'll review the psukim, then we'll go back to the actual halachas there. Shroma. Bottom is the first place. Is the information?
Sabbat Avdal.
Where are the other two psukim about loans? There's two more psukim about loans, if I know. You hold the psukim while we wait. Okay. Okay, yeah. Chav Beis Chav Dalet is the first. Pashas Mishpatim, Perik Chav. When you say Perik Chav, Beis Pasik Chav Dalet. Im Kesef Talves Ami. If you give a loan to the people of my nation, right? Rashi says right away, im. Rashi, Rabbi Shmuel lo im, kol im ve'im shebetoyer reshus. Wherever it says im, it's an optional. Chutz migimel, besides three. V'zeh echet mehem. This is one of the three that's not an optional, but im means choyve, right? And as it's explained in the Gemara, kashe talve, when you lend. Okay, if you want to know why it says im and not kashe, so all the mefarshim on the spot speak about it. So we're not going to go into that right now. And the pasuk tells us, number one, es ami, first you should give it to a Jew. Es ha'oni, give it to a poor man over a rich man. Imach, right, the person that's together with you, right, because the closer he is to you, a family member. And then lesil ha'kanoisha, which I said I'll talk about by another shir, lesimal of neshach, don't charge ribbis, right? Im chaval tachasam suyachat v'yashem s'yishiven eloi. So this is about taking back a mashkin. Okay, now, how do we know another source that a loan is not an optional, but rather it's a must? Pashas Re'eh, right? Pashas Re'eh, we learn it every single time there's a yontif, and it talks to us about the following situation. Let's go to Pashas Re'eh. Okay, Re'eh. Here we go. Yes, Perik Tezvav. It says, Pasik Zayin. If there's a poor man, me'achad achecha, from one of your brothers, ba'achad sherecha, in one of your cities, ba'atzcha Hashem Hashem, kecha noisan loch, lo yisa'am etes levavcha, ve lo yisikpo etes yodcha, me'achicha ha'evyon. Don't close your hand, ki pasoyach tivcha aches yodcha loy, you should open your hands to him, ba'havet taviteni, right? Rashi, im loy rotze b'matona, if he doesn't want to take tzedakah, ten loy behal vo'o. Give him a loan. And as a matter of fact, the Rambam writes that in a way, giving a loan is a bigger mitzvah than giving tzedakah, because by a loan, the person still feels good about himself. By tzedakah, the person feels lousy that he had to accept from another person. And how much do you give him? You have to give him dai machsori asher yechsa loy. There's no shear. Every person, depending on what he needs. If he was a wealthy man, he needs much, much more. Okay, and then the pasuk comes, and the pasuk warns us: Yisham lecha, be careful, pentia davim levavcha b'liyah lemer, that it's coming of shmita, and therefore you don't want to give a person a loan, and you're obligated to give the person the loan. That is the second pasuk. Where's the third place in the Torah? The Torah speaks about loans. That's in Vayikra, by the sugi there of the Eved Ivri. Let's take a look. If I'm not mistaken, it's Perik Chof Hei Pasuk Lamed Hei and Vayikra. Take a look. Chof Hei. Oh, yeah, here it is. Perik Chof Hei. Pasuk. Okay. Perik Chof Hei Pasuk Lamed Hei and Vayikra. V'chiyamach achicha, your brother becomes poor. Imot yodei imach. V'hechzakta boy. Now you have another mitzvah. What is that? To be mechazek another person. As the Gemara tells us, make sure a person doesn't go under. A person falls on hard times, you can extend to him a loan, and you can sort of bail him out. You have an obligation to bail a person out. But again, it's only v'chai imach, which means chayecha koidim. You don't give away your own money if you can go and you can make a living at the same time. Okay, that's the basic discussion of where the psukim in the Torah are that mention loans. I started to mention last week that there is one question that I have not ever found in the Torah any source to answer that question. I mentioned the Chavetz Chaim deals with that question, and that is, when it comes to tzedakah, there's a shear, there's a tenth or a fifth, depending on the person. On the other hand, when it comes to giving a loan, there is no shear mentioned anywhere in the Torah. And the Chavetz Chaim says, therefore, a person should be mishayr on his own. What he feels is the amount that is necessary. The Chavetz Chaim, in another sefer, in Chelik Beis, which is more of a machshava sefer, not a halacha sefer, in Perik Yud Ches, the Chavetz Chaim suggests that you should take from your miser money, you should take X amount, and you should take, separate up money into a miser account. 2/3 you should give away. 1/3 of that money you should hold for loans. That's a suggestion of the Chafetz Chaim. And the Chafetz Chaim says, when you realize that you don't need that amount of money for loans, then you'll give the whole amount of money for tzedakah. The Chafetz Chaim says that he technically has a problem, because if you put money into a Maisa account, so it's, the money belongs to the poor people. If the money belongs to the poor people, you don't truthfully have a right to borrow money from the poor people. So at the end, the Chafetz Chaim says that it's talking about you put it into that account and you give it with that kavona in the first place. So fine. So what's the shear? Also, there's an interesting discussion in the Paiskim, how long you have to extend the loan for. So also, that depends on the person, depends on how much you can afford it, like I said last week, because you're not mechuyif to give away your money when you're going to need it for an investment, and so on and so forth. Okay, now let's talk about the actual situations. The first situation, which I said that I will speak about by this chair, is what happens if it's a person that has a tendency to lose money. And he's borrowing the money because he wants to make an investment. And you know that he's a wheeler dealer, and every time you give him money, he squanders the money, and then he can't repay you. Do you have an obligation to give this person a loan or not? The answer to the question is, it's a mechaber in Shulchan Aruch and Siman Tzadik Zayin. If I'm not mistaken, it's Siv Dalet. And the mechaber says, not only you don't have to give the person the loan, you shouldn't give the person the loan. And not only you shouldn't give him a loan, if you give him the loan, the mechaber says, you over lefne evil isit nichshol, alav in the Torah. Because the guy's not going to repay you. And then you're going to be over yourself, and they see you like Yenosha. That's not what the Torah expected. It's amazing. You read the words of the Chafetz Chaim. That's what I'm telling you. We talk about loans in the Torah. It was not expected to be a tremendous amount of risk. Obviously, there is a risk factor, because as we discussed the parasha of Shemitah, there is a certain risk factor. And sometimes when you lent the money the person had, and then suddenly he lost his money, that the Torah addresses. That the Torah says not a cheshbon. But the Chafetz Chaim writes in Avos Chesed that the situation is when you give a person a loan, the person is supposed to be in the cheskas parana, which means a person that you assume will have the ability to repay the loan. And if you don't assume he has the ability to repay a loan, he's that type of person that just takes the money and he will squander that money, you should not give the loan to this person. And I'll take this even a step further. The Chafetz Chaim says, what happens if a person approaches you and he does not have money, and you know he probably won't repay you, so you don't have to give him the loan. And by the way, I just want to say, there's a pasuk in Mishlei, which the pasuk says, loy v'rosha v'lo yishalim. A person that borrows money with the intention not to pay is considered a rosha right away, if that's how you borrow the money. But what happens if a person comes and he has a mashkin? So if you have a mashkin, collateral is given to you. Now already, you're in a situation where you were given the money, now already you're obligated to give the money, because you're guaranteed you're going to get repaid, right? That's in a classic case. Now, the question that I get all the time, and I've gotten this question many times, what happens when a person approaches you and he says, I would like to borrow money from you, and I would like to guarantee the money, but how am I going to guarantee the money? By giving you a lien on my house, right? Okay, now assuming it's a real lien, and assuming it doesn't have six other mortgages, right, and you're like the fifth mortgage on the house, which is impossible to collect, but what would you say in that case? Are you obligated to give the loan or not? What would be your feeling in such a case?
Can't take his house away.
Why can't you take his house away?
You're
not mechuyif to give it to a duck, and let him rent an apartment. The person has... The lifestyle is that he should have a nice dwelling to live with, but he doesn't have to be a homeowner. So you have a situation, and I'm asking you a question. It's a halacha question. We said that a loan for daimach soiroi is not an option. A loan is an obligation, right? I proved it. I showed you all kinds of sources. I showed you the definition of im. I showed you the pasuk in Parshas Re'eh. I showed you the mitzvah seser in Parshas Emor Vechzaktaboy. So now that we all understand and we've all established that a loan is not something you have a option to do, but rather a loan is something you must do. And when must you? When must you not? If you do have the money, and a person approaches you, he says, I need a large sum of money. So we said that if the situation is that you don't believe you're going to get it, you don't have to give it to him. If it's not a secure loan, because the person is not becheskes, because he will be able to repay the money. But he says to you, no problem, he has a mashkin, but he doesn't have a mashkin that valuable. He says, I'll give you a lien on my house. You have to do it or not. That's what I'm asking. What would you suggest? A lien different than a mashkin? I'm going to suggest to you possibly, yes, a lien is not a mashkin, and it could be you don't have to give the money. Let me explain.
Every time you give a loan, you have a shibud automatically.
Yeah, you have a shibud, but there are ways of strengthening a shibud. For example, when I get a shibud in general, so I'm meshubit together with the 15 other people that are meshubit. So where did that get me? But on the other hand, there are certain shibudim that are like on the level of an apoiteki, right? Poitehe koi, which a lien would be more like an apoiteki, which means you're guaranteed you're the only person getting repaid from this, right? Now, let's play out what actually happens. The person defaults on the loan. Now you want your house. Now you got to go to Bezin. Now you got to fight a whole court case in Bezin if you could collect this house or not. Then the Bezin rules, you could collect this house. But then the Bezin doesn't have the power of enforcement to give you the house. So the Bezin has to give you a letter that you can go to court to enforce the judgment. Are you mechuyev to do that? Not necessarily. So the Chofetz Chaim writes in a sefer he wrote called Nesiv HaChesed, that this concept that when you guaranteed that your money is going to be returned to you, you have to give him the loan if he gives you a mashkin, is only when the mashkin is oivel asaycha. You can collect based on the mashkin. But if you need to go through a whole bunch of other ways of enforcement and the bezin doesn't have that power to hand you over the person's house, so technically speaking, you can't say that I'm obligated to give the loan. So, and people come with a tiny, says, how can you say I'm not going to give him the money? I'm giving him a lien on my house. I don't know. The Chofetz Chaim seems to say clearly that in most cases, when you get a lien on the house, you don't actually have an obligation to extend the loan. Okay? For starters, one extremely important halacha. Okay, now, even if it's a person that the person is guaranteed that he repays loans, you have to all remember a Gemara Maseches Bava Metzia, that if you extend a loan and you don't write a shtar, right? Or at minimum, have Edom, or Edom would be best, or a shtar, or at least have Ksav Yodai without Edom. The Gemara says, because you're causing him that one day he might forget, and then he'll deny it, and you're going to cause him to lie. So, and people don't realize this. I've heard from a few very, very chashuva people that even in their own families, they're makbid to write a shtar when they give a loan. And the concern is, but it's a Gemara, it's an actual Gemara that says you're supposed to do that. Now, a common question that I've gotten quite a few times is that what happens, a person approaches you and a person says, do me a favor, lend me $10,000. Right? Please, can you lend me $10,000? No problem. And how are you going to pay it back to me? I'll pay back to you $100 a month over the next 8 years. Right? No, are you obligated to extend that loan or not? What would you say? Probably
depends
not. Why not?
Position.
Huh?
Depends on your situation.
Depends on your situation. What's wrong with this style of repayment?
Then you're not going to get the $10,000 back.
No, it's guaranteed you're going to get back the money.
I know, you're going to get it, but
how much time?
Every time you get the $100,
you can
afford to be out for 8 years on the money. The problem is that every time you get $100 back in your pocket, what do? So you put the $100 in your pocket, you give a few dollars for tzedakah, and you spend a few dollars in the grocery store and the bakery, and the 10 years went by and you never had any money. Right? Huh?
Is that a punishment?
Why? That's not a consideration?
Put the money.
Why not?
If you can afford.
Why is that not a consideration? Right.
Put the money in there.
But I'm not supposed to get damaged. I once was a witness to a loan. I was once a witness to a loan. And there was a very wealthy man gave a loan to a kail person. And I heard this from my own ears. He said to him as follows. He says, listen, you'll give me back the loan whenever you want. But just do me one favor. Give me back the $10,000 that I gave you. Don't give me $50 here and $150 here. Because $150 in my pocket, I just spent. So you're not really repaying me. The truth is, it's interesting. There's a discussion, there's a disagreement in Shulchan Aruch between the Shach and the Mechaber. The disagreement is, any time that I give a person a loan, and I give him a loan and we make a deal, he's going to have to repay me in 6 months from now, in a lump sum. And the person comes to me at an earlier time and says, I have already a quarter of the money, I want to give it to you. Are you obligated to take part of the money? Right? The Shach says that you're not obligated to take the money. The Mechaber says you are obligated to take the money. So it would be a difference if you're an Ashkenaz or Svar regarding this specific question. Interesting halacha question. So, but that is a little different. That is you extended the loan. The terms were to repay it at a certain date. Here it's different. The person is saying up front, I'm giving you a loan, and I want you to know I'm giving you a loan, this is how I'm going to repay it. Are you obligated to give the loan or not? And you ask them, it's a consideration. I'll tell you, yes, absolutely is a consideration. Because there's a Gemara in Bava Metzia that Ayin Zayin on the base. The Gemara tells us as follows. Hayman de Oisfa Meyaziz al-Chavre. The person that gives a loan, 100 zuz, to his friend, he pori zuza, he pays it one zuz at a time. So the Gemara says as follows. Piroin ma'al yahava, it's considered paid, el de islay tarumas, but he can say, I'm angry at you. Right? This is the Gemara. He says, piroin is, it's a payment, yes, but it's tarumas. Tarumas, he says, you ba'avled me. You hurt me, because in the way you repaid me, I'm going to eventually have a loss. Right? That's what the person's entitled to say. No? Now that that is the situation, can you obligate a person to lend money, like a tchila, in a way where the Gemara says that if you repay the money this way, you can have tarumas on the person? Of course not. Right? Okay, but then the Chavetz Chaim in Sefer Nesivah has it as your point. He says, obviously it depends on the person. There are some people that they have a lot of money. There's always money coming in and out. And it does not make a difference to them if they're going to get this. They're not going to spend all the money they have in their pocket anyways. And it makes no difference to them. So then you're obligated to give the loan. That's what he says. But in an average case where it does make the average person where it does make a difference, then in that situation, the loan does not have to be given. Now, I'll tell you what's...
The check considered like a stock?
Oh, yeah. How many shiurim you want on that question? there's a whole sefer, I give you, I have it now, somebody printed a sefer approximately 300 pages called HaCheck BaHalocha. And it's a couple hundred pages. I mean, it's very interesting because the check has changed much over the years. There's been something called a bearer instrument, and there's many, many, you know, you can go through the last few hundred years. The check has changed very much. As a matter of fact, even today, there are different laws, if you're in America or in Europe or in Israel, regarding if you cancel a check, certain things are illegal, stopping a check. It's very complicated what a check actually is. I will tell you that I sat one time in a din Torah for a half a year where the issue was a person who was mazik a check and a person didn't hand over a check, and the question was, how do we view it, as a shtar choyv or as an obligation or as cash? And we all went through that whole sefer and we concluded, like nothing in that sefer, we had a different mahalach how to deal with the check. It's complicated, it's a discussion, we'll talk about it. Bezrat Hashem will say here, it's very important, because the truth is, you buy a lulav or etrog, right? What do? You pay with a check. You pay with a check for your matzot, and all of those halachas is a concept of lachem. And if the check doesn't have, it's just a shtar, so if you don't make a secondary kinyan, it doesn't become lachem. So it's a very important question, and if you mazik shibud shahaveri, what's the story with a check? I mean, you know, the classic question is, when a person gives somebody else a check, right? He takes the check, he passes it on to a third party, and the third party holds on to the check for more than a year. Now the check is stale, you can't use it. So he goes back to the person that received the check, that gave it to him, and he says, can you replace the check? He says, I don't even know where I got it from. Right, so you have all these situations. What a check is a complicated question. We'll get to it another time. There's another question I want to ask, which is a very interesting question. What happens if a person approaches you for a loan? And this I've seen myself happen a few times in the last year, because people promised loans and then they lost their money. Okay, person approaches you. I saw a certain person which I was an aid to this story happening, where Reuven approached Shimon and said to him, I'm buying a house, I need a loan for $50,000. Shimon was doing very well in his business. He says, no problem, I'll give you a loan for $50,000. He says, you know, tell me when you need it. He had money from other places in the meantime. He didn't need the money right away. And he said, come to me whenever you need the money. 3 months later, this recession started and everybody was losing money. And came to me, he says, can I have the $50,000? He said, I'm sorry, I can't give it to you anymore. Okay. The question I'm asking is, if you obligate yourself to give a loan, and then you have a tough time, do you need to keep to your word or not? what would you say to the owner? Any obligation to give a loan? So you say, no, of course not, right? Why should I obligate myself? I'm a nice person, but I decide I'm not doing it, right? Zok to Chavetz Chaim and Seifa Avos Chesed, that when a person obligates himself to give a loan, you got to remember, I put down 3 psukim. It's a mitzvah, it's a say in the Torah. So it's a nedel dva mitzvah.
Tonight that I did it.
Fine. Let's take it again. Alan's saying a step further. The person lost money. Good. Let's get to that. Let's say the person did not lose money. He changed his mind. I wanted to give you a loan. Now I decided I'm not giving you a loan. So the Chavetz Chaim says a nedel dva mitzvah. You can't back out.
What are the reasons?
Because anytime if you go into the.
What are the reasons he's backing out?
Oh, we'll discuss in a second. But if a person first decides he changed his mind, can he change his mind? The answer is no. Just like when you have an appeal in shul, and you just get up and you say, I'm donating $1,000. You can't back out because you made a neder to give money for tzedakah. How could you back out? And similarly, when you made a neder to give a loan, you can't back out either. But then, the Chavetz Chaim, what's that? She said, but he neder, you got to be careful. Alright, look, in Hilchos Nedarim, that's a whole discussion of its own, even when you say, but he neder, how it works, if you meant it. Okay. But let's say the Chavetz Chaim wants to make a tremendous distinction. He says, there'll be a difference if he promised the loan to a poor person or to a rich person. If he was promising the loan to a poor person, so the poor person, that's the mitzvah of Echzakta, boy, that's the real halach in the Torah of Tzedakah. But if there's a wealthy man, who's a big businessman, and he just happens to be, he needs what they call a bridge loan, and he has to buy a different property, and he has money coming in from somewhere else, he says, listen, you need the credit for a couple of days, I'll extend it to you. Chavetz Chaim says, while that's a mitzvah, it's also included in the mitzvah, but the mitzvah of giving loans, that's not really what the Torah referred to. The Torah really referred to the mitzvah of Vechzakta boy. So there he said, if you change your mind, it might not be an edel of a mitzvah. But then at the end, the Chavetz Chaim says, how about if it was to an organization? So that's already a nedel of tzedakah. So you can't back out. I mean, back and forth and back and forth. Then the Chavetz Chaim says, even by the wealthy man, right, when he wants to back out, there's a different question, which we have to, it's a big discussion on its own. There's 2 halachas in Bava Metzia. One is Misha Pora, and one is Anshei Emona, right? Whenever you back out of a commitment that you made, sometimes you can have Misha Pora, but Misha Pora has to be that you actually had some transaction. Now, Misha Pora, you have to have Matan Mois. You have to actually give over cash, but on the other hand, there's no Kinyan because you need to have a Shtar. That's the Misha Pora. Anshei Amona is a commitment. So if the person was Soy Mechdas, then there's Anshei Amona. But that's only if it's a small amount, and only if it's not a great loss. So that's where your whole discussion is going to come into play in that situation. So all of these are the shilas that a person needs to address. No, now you'll have the person that really wants to give loans, and he's a big Elchid, and he gives whoever comes, he tries to lend him money. And this is the classic question that comes. What happens? You have $100,000 to give loans. 80 people come to you, what do they want? $1,000. And one person comes, he wants $80,000. So what do? Do you give all the money to one person, or do you give 80 different people the loans? Right? How do you handle that question? What's that? You give it to 80. Why 80? So Mishnah Masech is always, right? V'haka lefi roev ha-maisa. It's the more chesed that you do, the more maisa you do, the better off that you are, right? That's what the Mishnah in Masechus Ovos says. You're 100% correct, but the place can bring down, there's one exception. What's the exception to the rule? The exception to the rule is, remember, I said 3 psukim. I said the pasuk of Im Kesef Tal Ve'esami. I said the pasuk of V'havei Taviteni, Pashas Re'ei. But I said a third pasuk. What's the third pasuk? Ve'echzakta boy, right? Ki yom achachicha imota ve'echzakta boy. And the Gemara says, give him the ability shelo yismoitet legamri. Make sure the person doesn't go under. So the Chavetz Chaim says, what will happen when you have a situation where you have a person that was doing very well in business and suddenly he fell in hard times and he needs a big injection of cash in order to save his businesses, and if not, his businesses will go under. So in that situation, you have the extra mitzvah asay of the echzakta boy. When it comes to the poor person who doesn't have a few dollars to make yontif, plenty of people will give him the money. But this person that needs from you the large sum of money, nobody's going to give him the money. So therefore, you said you should do more mitzvahs. How do you do more mitzvahs? Sometimes you do more mitzvahs by giving it to many people, and sometimes you do more mitzvahs by not giving it to many people, but rather giving it to one person, because you can have not only im kesef tal v'sami, but also v'echzakta boy. So you really have to weigh every case as a individual case. So let me throw one more case at you. With tzedakah, it's the same question. Yes. Absolutely. With tzedakah, you have the same question. Yeah, but tzedakah, there are a few different variations. Of course, this is talking about that there's no issue with the other order, because we also there's a first in order. You give first to your family. After your family, you give to your neighbors. After your neighbors, you give to the people of your city. So, when I said 80 people, all 80 are on the same list in this question. So that's an important thing to know. Let me just throw out one more case, also a very interesting case. There's a concept of giving a loan, like we said, and it's an extremely important mitzvah. How about if you own a grocery store, right? What do you see? Guy walks into a grocery store, and you see he has this wallet that's so thick he can hardly keep it in his pocket, and when he finishes putting everything on the cash register, what did you say? Put it on my bill, right? That's the first thing that the average person says. No? So is there a mitzvah for the person who owns the grocery store to extend credit to people or not? Huh? No, why not? Huh? Is there an obligation? Im kesef. What?
Depends
on the circumstances. Okay, so I'll tell you that by the case of the grocery store, he's more exempt than everybody else's. Let me just point out 2 points to you. Okay? 2 points. He's making a very, very good point. He's saying, let's first go through the halacha, and then we'll talk about exactly what you just mentioned. Be'etzem, the answer to the question is that the chenveni is potter, and he's potter for 2 reasons. Firstly, we had halacha, that v'chay achicha imach, you need to make a living too. And how does a grocer make a living? By having cash to buy more merchandise. Right? He needs cash flow. So if he's not going to have enough money to have a cash flow, so he's out of business. That's one. Secondly, even the credit that he extended already, if the person says to him, I want you to extend that credit, he's not obligated to extend it. And he can go after him, because that's not a loan. That's a business transaction. How do I know that? First Mishnah, the 10th Perek of Masechta Shviyos. The Mishnah tells us that when you have money by a chenveni, right? You makif hakofes achanis. Shmita is not meshamet, right? Shmita is ksofim. What do you see from the fact that Shmita is not meshamet? It's not a loan. So those are the first 2 things I wanted to mention. However, yes, I agree with what you said. If the situation is that it's
true, these laws, this is true to every person as well. If you can't afford to pay it.
Erachanami. If you can't afford it, and
you need. Somebody asks you to pay for a loan, I can't have the money, so I don't have.
So you can't give it to him, right? Again, so the answer to the question is you're only obligated to extend the credit after you've cleared the amount where you yourself can make a living in that store. That's number one. And rule number 2 has to be that the person needs it. The Chafetz Chaim has an interesting conclusion on that question. He says exactly what you said. Then he adds on, he says, but if it's a very poor man and he wants basic necessities of food, so then it's like not different than anybody else that everybody would give. And that was because all these halachas of the exemptions are only when the person really wants a substantial loan. The person that comes over to you and says, I need $50 to buy some food, then it goes into verzakte boy, and that type of loan, just about everybody will give, even if you take a risk on that type of loan. Absolutely not. Absolutely not. That's what I said. Absolutely not. Hakafa in a store is considered a business transaction, and Shemitah, which is Meshamet alone, the Mishnah says in Shviyas, is not Meshamet that. So anyone that approaches you and says that since I extended credit to you in the business, I'm protected like Yenoshe, and Vahave Taviteni, and you have to give him back his Mashkin at night, none of that applies. It's absolutely incorrect. And you should collect it. It's a business deal. It's absolutely not. But on the other hand, a small amount which goes over the amount of a loan that a person should actually do. I'll just conclude with one famous story. I'm sure many of you have heard the story that you're talking about. I mean, you can go on and on. This topic of loans is fascinating, but it's so important to. But I want to tell you something. One thing you do realize, the Torah didn't expect us to give loans, and we're not going to get it back. That's not really what the Torah wanted. A small amount for a ches, that's fine. But when a person comes to you for a large amount and there are issues that you're obligated to give the loan, that is only when you know clearly you're getting it back. And that is only when it's above the amount that you don't need the cash in order that you should be able to do your own business dealings, because or else it goes into the issue of a chayei chi chayim, you don't have to give it.
Why in the Shemitah, why does it say that? Of course it's not going to give it, he knows it's going
to... So the answer to the question is, that's a very good point, and I wanted to address that. The case of the Shemitah is talking about that you gave the person a regular loan, and you expected the person's going to give it back to you, but he fell on hard times. So you're going to say to yourself, now it's going to come Shemitah, and I'll never be able to collect it. But when you gave the loan, it was Becheskes Perano, it was a person that was going to be able to repay the loan. You didn't expect. Yes, that there is a certain risk factor, but you're not supposed to be taking the risk factor when you give the loan. You give the loan to a person that is it's assured he's going to repay you. Afterwards, if a risk happens, what can you do? That's what Pasha is not what it means. Or if it's a small amount of money, a person comes for tzedakah, he doesn't have what to eat. Because it's an oni mamish. Because the chayyim is an oni mamish. But to go and give large sums of money, Erev Shmita, Dafka, that's not what the Torah really, the Pashtas not. No, you look at the Chavos Chaim, he says that's not that way. The Pashtas not. I just conclude with a very quick story. That we're talking about when you give a loan to a person, you have to always write it down, and the person when he repays it also has to write it down. I'm sure you all know the famous story with the Rishash.
Yes.
Yeah, that's a classic story. Everybody knows that story. Okay, good. So then we'll.
No, I don't really know.
Yeah, this is a famous one. I'm sure everybody knows this one. I'll tell it to you after. This is a famous story. Good, so we'll stop over here. I think that clarifies the topic of Kesef Talmud.
You know
the story?
The story goes
that the Rishash gave. Rishash was a wealthy man, by the way. Rishash was a wealthy man. As a matter of fact, the way the Rishash got into Shas was by printing the Shas. They were developers. They were builders. And what he did was he would give loans. He once gave a loan to the tailor of the city, and the tailor of the city came to repay the loan. He was a little learning. So he was a little learning. He didn't want to be disturbed. He took the money. He just put it in the back of his gemara somewhere. What happened was, and Rishash, took a look at his loans, and he saw it was an outstanding loan. So at the end, he went in for the money. He says, "I repaid you." So he went to Din Torah. At the Din Torah, they said that the tailor has to make a shvur. He has to swear that he repaid it, and then he's potter. And he knew he repaid it. So he said, "Okay, if you know that you made a shvur, if you're willing to make a shvur, you won't have to pay." So sure enough, he was willing to make a shvur. The Rishash said, "No way, I'll forgive the money." And in the city, it became known as a terrible story. How did this person do something of that sort? And people stopped going into this tailor. He had to leave the city. Long story, just to make it very quickly. The end of the story was that years later, the Rishash opened his gemara. In the back of his gemara, he found the money. And then he reminded himself of the story. So he went to this person to apologize. So the tailor says, "I don't accept your apology. Because, listen, no one's going to ever believe the story. You ruined my life. And what's going to happen is, people are going to say, 'Oh, you had rachmonos on me, so now you're coming back.'" That's the story that happened. So the Rishash saw he had no choice. In order to make him happy, the Rishash says, "Listen, I have a daughter. You have a son. Let's do a shidduch together. And then everybody's going to know that the story is for real." That's what happened. So Shradron, whenever he said over the story, used to say, he says, right, Avom Yom Kodin Yitzir Safla, Basil says, Bas Plain Leplani, how did this Shidduch ever have happened? That's what Hashem had to do. He had no other choice.